The Mystery of the Unbelievable Bungalow. On the outskirts of the town of Whimsy Woods, where the trees whispered melodramatic secrets and the squirrels engaged in suspicious backdoor deals, stood a peculiar bungalow that had become the talk of local gossip. It was claimed that the house had somehow acquired a reputation for leaking dishes, a phenomenon baffling to the villagers but thrilling for the curious crew of aspiring sleuths, Nancy Large, George Plump, and Bess Dresserskin. Nancy Large was known for her oversized trench coat that could almost double as a parachute. With her magnifying glass always in hand, she often boasted, "I can find a needle in a haystack after I eat lunch, but I would never eat a needle. Gross." The unintended humor often left her friends chuckling or cringing. George Plump, as his name suggested, was a bit of a rotund fellow, perpetually munching on his beloved peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. He liked to think of himself as a walking buffet. "I'm not just any sidekick, I'm a significant side dish," he wrote proudly in his journal, though Nancy often teased him about donkeying around. The ever-chic Bess Dresserskin never missed a chance to sport the latest fashion trends, sporting faux fur even on the sunniest days. "Darlings, why be subtle when you can be a spectacle," she'd say, tossing her hair as if on a reality TV show, which of course, only existed in her own imagination. The trio decided to investigate the mystery of the bungalow after hearing that it was rumored to be home to a mischievous poltergeist, an inveterate food lover named Chewy. Chewy, they said, had a penchant for throwing spectacular dinner parties, albeit only of broken plates, as they mysteriously rained down from the ceiling. "Talk about a flair for the dramatic," Nancy quipped, adjusting her oversized glasses. One drizzly afternoon, armed with nothing but snacks, snacks, and more snacks, thanks to George's pantry-perfect planning, they trekked toward the infamous bungalow. As they approached, Nancy sniffed the air dramatically. "Do you smell that?" she asked, putting on a serious face, but her stomach grumbled loud enough to earn a few snickers. "Is it a ghostly aroma?" Bess asked, ever eager to give the summation of the situation an air of sophistication. "Nah," George swooned, "it's definitely my last PB&J asking for freedom." Inside, the ambience was eerily casual, cobwebs held up like garlands, and an old record player spun a tune that could lull even the most hyperactive bats into slumber. They quickly noticed scattered plates across the room, stacked precariously as if Chewy was trying to build the tallest tower of dinnerware. "He's either a culinary genius or a hopeless klutz," Bess jested, eyeing the not-so-tall skewed mountain of china. As they ventured deeper, a curious sound emanated from the kitchen. A cacophonous symphony of clattering and clinking echoed throughout the house, pulling them closer. "It's just like a chef's opera, only ghostly," Nancy announced, growing more intrigued than suspicious. Suddenly, a fierce gust blew through the hallway, sending plates crashing to the floor like thunderclaps. "Oh no! Plates are raining, we're gonna drown in dinnerware," George squeaked, his face as pale as an uncooked noodle. Just then, Chewy floated into view. He was an ethereal figure, slightly translucent, but with an elastic band of pasta on his forehead, sporting a chef's apron, his version of haute cuisine apparitions. "Welcome, diners," he boomed in a voice that cracked eggs and echoed affectionately. "Yikes! A food spirit!" Nancy gasped, barely containing her excitement. "Come to invite us to your dinner party?" "I wish. But alas, it's a bit out of my, plate of skills these days," Chewy sighed, causing a few plates to wobble and drop dramatically at his feet. "You see, I can cook anything, except for a decent meal. Each time I try, the plates end up on the floor instead of the table." After days of manic preparations, Chewy had unintentionally become a culinary catastrophe. George, though he had never met a plate he hadn't befriended, decided to step in. "Let's call this, Chewy's Culinary Catastrophe Night, where everyone brings their worst dish. It'll be hysterical." Nancy and Bess immediately voted in favor, "A messy dinner party? Count us in. It'll be a real hit, food, fun, and a slight touch of ghostly pizzazz." The haunted bungalow became famed for its quirky dinners. Locals laughed anew at Chewie's culinary chaos while plates took flight alongside laughter. Soon enough, Chewie's cooking trials turned into a comical event, bringing the community together like no Michelin star ever could. In the end, Chewie found solace in the thought, it wasn't about the broken plates or the mess, rather, it was about friends, laughter, and delightfully terrible dishes that bonded them. So, as rumors of the ghostly bungalow spread, people would approach anew, fully expecting their plates to fly and their hearts to lift. And as for Nancy, George, and Bess, they learned one essential lesson amidst the flying dinnerware: sometimes it's not just the mystery that's deliciously twisted, it's the adventure that truly fills the plate of life.